Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Cordelia Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. Today's date is October 1st, 2015. I'm very shocked today to realize that this year is just flying by so fast. You know, things just seem to be going faster than, you know, what I could expect. As far as, you know, the year just passing by and how time is just, you know, going on and on and on. But first, before we start the call, you know, I want to give praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to do the show today and being able to gather this information for you and provide you with, you know, information that is valid, that is from Quran, for information that is from Hadith. So, you know, these are very important things that we have to, you know, make sure that we follow whenever we're stating something for Islam. We have to be aware of what we're reading and aware and who we're getting this information from. It's not just, you know, just who or where, but making sure that that information is valid and sound information. So, you know, I just want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me guidance, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of things that I read and being able to present this information to you on a level. I'm no scholar. I'm no student of knowledge. I've been Muslim for 23 years. I do extensive reading. I love to read. I love to investigate different things. I love to try to understand very complex and very detailed things. So, you know, that's why I do the show. I've only been doing this for a couple of months. Imam Alfred Muhammad, who started Religion Means Alive under Blog Talk, you know, brought me under his wing. And he felt as though that, you know, I would be a good candidate to do the show because he likes my ideas. He likes that I like to cause controversy sometimes with the topics that I pick and so forth and so on. I try to, you know, I do push the buttons. I'm not going to lie. I do push the buttons to try to get a reaction because with that reaction, a lot of times I get people's true concerns and their true feelings about certain situations. And I, in turn, use those feelings and those situations for topics for the show. So, you know, I've been labeled the Wendy Williams of Muslim talk. So I don't know how good that is or I don't know how bad that is, but from knowing Wendy's reputation, It's behind a lot of controversy behind it. But, hey, I'll take it. Allahu a'lam, Allah knows best. But I'm here to present this information to you, and I don't segregate. So I'm not going to bash the brothers. I mean, a lot of times people think, oh, she's just always going to be on the bus. No, whenever I do my shows, I give valid responses for both sides, from a female perspective and also from a male perspective. So if you listen to my show, you'll understand that I just don't, you know, pick on one person for a particular topic. No, I usually, you know, divide it down the middle and I give you the good and bad from both sides. If you are on the web and you're, you know, listening via the stream on Blog Talk, if you want to ask me a question, you know, just send your response. I'll be able to see it on that dashboard. Also, if you're calling in, if you're calling in at 805-727-7013, at any time you can press 1, and I'll see it on my dashboard, and then I'll be able to take your response or your question or your concern. I do want to make this interactive. So, you know, if it's something that you're not sure of, you have a question of, just feel free to, you know, chime in by pressing 1. And I can respond to you. Also, if you have questions after this, I'll be more than willing to provide you with the Dalil And Dalil means information, Dalit information of where you got your information, sort of like when you're in college and you're doing a paper, you have to show, cite your sources. So in Islam, for those who are not Muslim and are listening on the line, anytime someone tells you something that is supposed to have Islamic validity to it, we state, please show us the information. Where did you obtain it from? And usually our two sources go back to Quran or Hadith or the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his practices that he did or his knowledge on certain situations from him receiving the revelation of the Quran. So we always provide that information if there's a question about it. If the person can't provide you with it, then you don't take that information because it could be tainted, it could be false, amongst other things. So we always make sure that we provide the correct and accurate dalil or information for a statement or a claim for something that relates to Islam. Tonight's topic, and I'm doing a two-part show, and I figured I'll do divorce because divorce is always happening. I live right outside of Philadelphia. The listeners, if you're on the line, things you may have heard through the grapevine, you know, about Philadelphia and the practices of the increased numbers of divorce. Divorce is not something that we should take lightly. It's not something that we should play with. It's not something that we should just do because we feel like doing it. We shouldn't just do it on a whim. Oh, I don't want to be married to her no more. I'm divorced. So I chose to do divorce first because, you know, I just want to get it out the way. I want to get it out the way, and I want to move on to something better. Inshallah, I won't have a show on Saturday. I have some business to attend to. So the topic of marriage will be held on Monday, inshallah. So tonight's topic is divorce in Islam. First, I want to, you know, go through some hadith, some Quran verses, the process of divorce, what divorce entails, what there's four different types of divorce. How are those carried out? How are they implemented? And so forth and so on. So we're going to do that first. Unfortunately, I couldn't find any statistics on Islamic marriages because Islamic marriages aren't recorded through the state or a municipality unless you do get a state-issued marriage license. That's the only way that, you know, we could form statistics for Muslim marriages. But, you know, we know that within the Muslim community in and around the area of Philadelphia, the divorce rate is very high. It's extremely high. I'm recently divorced, so, you know, I'm a part of that statistic. So I just thought that, you know, it would be important for people to understand what divorce is, what the process is, because it's not just like, oh, I divorce you, and you get up, get your things, and walk out, and you leave your family or whatever have you on both sides. Like, the woman just doesn't get up and say, you know, I want a divorce, and she walks out, and she takes her things or whatever like that. The process for divorce is completely different from a state divorce or a legal marriage and then the process of being divorced. It's totally different. So, you know, that's something that I want to make sure that I zero in on, that it's not an easy process. It's not something that's going to be done in 2 weeks. You know, it's just not going to be done because of how the process works. And all of the steps that you have to take in order to complete that process, it's not just, oh, you know, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. It's not that easy. So I'm going to attempt to, you know, get information down. So So again, for any of the listeners, if you want to chime in, if you have a question, a concern, or you just want to make a statement, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. So, you know, I just thought that, you know, I would take the time to break this down and to try to make it as clear as possible what divorce entails and how it works and, you know, all those good different aspects of it. I want people to know, the listeners, I want, you know, anybody that's streaming live or, you know, however you're listening to the show, to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not like divorce. So, you know, and the shaitan loves divorce. And if you look at your husband or your wife and you're pleased with them, the shaitan gets angry because he wants to see the dissolvement of your marriage. So I'm going to read this statement from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it says, of all the things permitted in law, divorce is the most hateful things in the sight of Allah. And that's narrated in Abu Dawud. So that's Hadith. You can find that in Dawud Hadith. And it says, marry and do not divorce undoubtedly. The throne of the beneficent Lord shakes due to divorce. And that's in the Tafsir of Al-Qurtubi, that's volume 1. A woman seeking divorce unnecessarily will be deprived of the scent of paradise. And that's also, that's in Tirmidhi and also in Abu Dawud, which is Hadith sources. What are some of the major causes of divorce? Okay, and before I go any further, I see I have a caller who has a question. So I'm going to accept the question now. Let me see here. Hello. You had a question?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
So I have a question. Yes, I want to know, like, before you get into the divorce, why is it that Muslims do not marry through the state?
Well, I'll get to that. I'll get to that. It's not that you don't marry through the state. Some people do choose to marry through the state, but Islamically, it's not required because we're not in a country that falls under Sharia law. So, you know, and plus, we also practice polygyny, which is not recognized by the state. So these are some of the things that come in between that. So to avoid any problems, you just do the Islamic marriage because that's what's seen and upheld in the sight of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you do the Islamic marriage. Some people will get legally married through the state, but we don't enforce that because we look at the Islamic marriage as holding more weight or more merit than the state marriage. It's nothing against it. If you want to do that, you can, but it's not a requirement because we don't live in a country that falls under Sharia law.
Is that not an opening? Like, let's say some people, they do things because they do things, right? So
right.
Is that not an opening for, let's say, for the sister to, if the brother doesn't want to fulfill his obligations, to just leave?
Well, this is the thing.
You get what I mean? Without any type of, I know a Muslim should be a Muslim, but I just, you know, that's like an open door for a lot of sisters to be left stranded.
And that's true. I have seen that. But what we focus on is we don't want, there's a lot of procedures and different things like that that you have to do to get legally married through the state. You have to pay for the marriage license. Then you have to pay for the officiant to do the actual marriage. So, you know, you're talking about a couple hundred dollars because it's not cheap. Like, it's $80 to, you know, register to get the marriage license. And then you're paying anywhere between $100 to $200 for the officiant to marry you, even at, like, a wedding chapel. It's that additional process. Now, if you get married through Islam, like at the masjid, or if you know somebody who can perform the marriage for you, sometimes they'll do it for free. They'll do it without charge, you know, and you pay $10 to get your Islamic marriage license, and, you know, y'all sign it there with your wakil, with the sisters wakil, the husband, and, you know, the two witnesses, and you're fine. So it's a different process,
so,
but
are
if
you,
we live...
Are you making a financial? So it's like a financial. And I'm just asking questions. I'm not trying to stir up no bees, but...
No. It's not so much financial. It's because we, as Muslims, we don't focus on the state, because we know, just like homosexual marriage is permissible in the country, we don't follow that, though, because that goes against Islam. You know, we can get married, and we don't have to go through the state, and it has nothing to do with, oh, if the brother wants to, you know, just run off on the sister, he can run off. We have to, as Muslims, we understand that you can run off now, the brother can run off, the sister can run off, but on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah, which means the day of judgment, that brother or sister is going to have to answer to Allah for their actions. So you pick and choose. If the person don't fear Allah and they want to go ahead and run off and not fulfill the obligations of what the marriage contract stated, oh, well and good. You just make dua for that person. And if Allah accepts their tawbah or their repentance for that situation, then they're forgiven. But if not, they're going to feel the wrath of Allah for doing that. We don't focus on man-made things in Islam. We focus on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam states in the hadith. So, you know, I mean, like, again, you can do it. The Islamic marriage hand holds more weight when you're Muslim. Now, if we were in a Sharia-run country, which means they follow the Islamic standards according to Quran and Hadith, our marriage would be valid. So, if say for instance, I marry a brother and we're in Saudi, our marriage is legal. We don't have to do through the state because they follow Sharia law, and that marriage would be considered valid to them. Now, if we moved here back to the States, that marriage contract would not hold any validity. Some say, and it depends on the state that you're in, some states will honor the Islamic marriage or a marriage from outside the country. It depends on the particular state that you're in. Some won't honor it at all and will require you to get married under their jurisdiction, and some will accept that is valid in their state. So it depends on the state law. So I hope I answered your question.
Alhamdulillah, a good answer. No.
Okay. All right, mashallah. FY. So let me just check the board again. Okay, I'm just checking to see if anybody else has questions. No, I don't see anybody else lit up. So, again, before we get in kind of deep, I want to make it an offer again. If you have questions, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I will patch you through to let you speak. So, you know, in my readings, I wanted to understand what are some of the causes of divorce. And again, divorce is not anything easy to deal with. Just like, you know, getting married wasn't easy to do, but divorce really puts a toll on your life and your situation when you're Muslim, because we believe that marriage is half your religion. So it's a greater effect for your whole iman as a Muslim that, you know, this is something that we should seek out if we're able to. And we try to avoid divorce as much as possible and exhaust all of the resources necessary to try to keep that marriage together without it ending, you know, abruptly. So some of the reasons, and this was a good listing that I found about some of the reasons why divorce, you know, divorce happens, or, you know, there's a lot of marriage problems. So sins and misdeeds, you know, the brother or sister, they're not praying. They're not covering. They're doing all kinds of things out in the dunya. And when I say dunya, for those who are not Muslim listening in, the dunya is the worldly life. So, you know, if you were Christian, you'll hear people say, oh, she was a worldly woman. That means she was really out there in the world, like, you know, she didn't have a care in the world. She was just doing whatever she wanted to do. And that's what I mean by dunya, you know. You're just out there doing whatever, and you're not fearing the law, you know, when you're doing these things, because if you did fear law, you wouldn't do these type of things because you know they're forbidden. Negligence. You're just not handling your responsibilities as you should, or you're neglecting them. Like, you know, you make a hardship for your husband or wife constantly. Constantly there's a hardship that arises, and you're not trying to do anything to rectify that. That's one of the reasons. Irresponsibility, like, you know, you said you were going to do this or you said you were going to do that, and you never do it, and you never have no plans on doing it, and you have no plans on rectifying that, and you just keep constantly being irresponsible. Those are some things that, as a good Muslim, even if you weren't married, these are some of the characteristic traits that we should avoid even when we're not married. So, you know, just be mindful of these things. Relatives interference. Again, as I said on my call regarding, you know, sexuality and the sexual relationship between the husband and wife in Islam, you shouldn't bring your family into a lot of domestic issues. Now, you know, if it's a serious enough issue where you need to reach out to your family, it's understood. But, you know, living here in the West, we have a lot of family members that aren't Muslim. So if you have family members who are Muslim, then they understand the rules and regulations of Islam in, you know, certain cases. So they would be better to speak with than to go to some of your non-Muslim family members, because they don't know the jurisdiction or the laws of how certain situations should be handled. So they would not be a good candidate to discuss your marital issues with in the beginning, because it also could be tainted with some hate and things like that. So we want to keep all that out of it, and we want to make sure that, you know, we have a person who is not biased in that situation. If it does escalate to that situation, you should turn to, you know, someone at the masjid, preferably the imam, or if they have, like, you know, students of knowledge who would be able to sit down with you and your husband in, like, a sort of like a counseling session. That would be a better alternative than reaching out to your family member or you know, your friend or whoever. Reprehensible jealousy. Now, we're all going to have some jealousy, and women may exhort that more than the men, but if it becomes so overburdening, like, you know, you don't want your wife to go out nowhere, like, you don't allow her to do nothing but stay in the house, alhamdulillah, the best place for a wife is in the home. But if you're forbidding her to even go visit her family members and so forth and so on, not in a manner where she's, like, you know, partying or doing anything like that. She's just going to visit her family members. Like, only her family members can come visit her at her house, but she can never go to their house. And it may be no kind of activity or anything that may cloud that. Like, you know, if it was Christmas, you don't want your wife going over there because, you know, they celebrate Christmas. That's understandable. But if it's just a Saturday and she wants to go visit her mother and you're not allowing her because whatever feelings you have, you know, that's haram. You're not supposed to do that. You're definitely not supposed to oppress your wife. You're supposed to allow her to interact with her family. As long as they're not trying to turn her against Islam, she should be able to interact with her family. For the sisters, you know, you're on the phone clocking that brother every 5 minutes. I mean, it's not necessary. It's not necessary for you to do that. Allah will reveal what needs to be revealed. Believe that. The cutter is the cutter. So whatever needs to be revealed, it will come out. There's no need for you to track that brother. Every 5 minutes, you're blowing up his phone. You're texting him. Oh, FaceTime me. I need to see where you at. I need to see where you're sister, stop. Because if he wasn't looking for a wife, he probably will, because he needs to, you know, distance himself some more from you. So don't do that. Don't hound him. Don't clock him. Don't, you know, be on his phone, irritating him every 5 minutes, especially if that man got a job where he needs to focus, like he's driving or he's operating equipment. Sis, calm down. It's not that serious. Calm down. Let your husband do his job. Get nice and prettied up for him when he comes home, so then, you know, y'all can enjoy each other. Distrust is a big factor. If, you know, something occurred in your marriage where the trust level just fell to the bottom of the scale, trust doesn't build back up overnight. It's going to take some time for, you know, that to build back up to where it was, and it may never get back to where it was, but that's where you have to take it and put it behind you and try to move forward for the sanctity and for, you know, trying to keep your marriage together. Distrust is a big one. It's a big one. And, you know, that's a major, especially if something bad had happened or a situation had occurred. It makes it even harder to move forward after that. False beliefs. You know, the person stated that they were something that they're not, and it comes out, and you're like, well, I asked you about that, but, you know, that's not what you said. You know, that could also cause, you know, disdain in the marriage. Like, you know, the person keeps saying that they're this or they're going to do this, and they don't, or it's a whole lie. People whole lives are lies. That has happened. You know, somebody say, oh, you know, I know this and I know that, and they don't. You know, that could cause some hardship in a marriage. In my last call, I talked about sexual relationships between a husband and wife in Islam. And something I found something that I found out that causes issues, even getting married, is masturbation, which we know is haram. Some scholars and sheikhs have a difference of opinion on that. But if you're catching your husband always, or your wife, not going to segregate, you know, reading dirty magazines or watching pornography all the time. If you're always doing that and you're not being affectionate to your spouse, that's going to cause some issues, because they're like, well, you know, you're watching this. You should be, you know, over here practicing on me. You know, so we try to keep those things out, because those things also corrupt our thinking and our judgment. And then we start to try to fulfill those things that we see, and some of those things shouldn't even be carried out in a marriage, period. Lack of sincerity. You know, like, as I said, as when I did my call on, you know, the rights of a wife and the rights of a husband, one of the statements that I made was that women are emotional creatures. Women are very emotional creatures. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us this way. He made us this way. This is why men have one degree over a woman, because we have hormonal changes. But if we get our hair done for you, if we, you know, we buy some sexy lingerie for our husbands or whatever like that, we want you to be happy. We want you to express that. We want you to say, oh, baby, you look good today. Like, oh, I like that outfit. Or, oh, you know, or even if I made your favorite dinner. Oh, you made my favorite dinner. You know, mashallah, I appreciate you. Thank you for being, Allah, thank you for blessing me with this wife. She is such a good one. We want to hear those things. Same thing, you know, with the sisters for the brothers. He's been out here all day long, out here in the dunya, watching, you know, the non-believers, scantily clad, not dressed appropriately. Last thing he want to do is come home, see his wife with a rag on her head and sweatpants and stuff. He don't want to see that. You know, if that, go out there and get that brother some, you know, some new oil, some new cologne or whatever, you know, and, you know, be like, here, babe, you know, I got this for you. I thought about you when I got this. The brother's going to be happy because men like attention too, but this is not as much as women do. Men like it, but not as much as women do. We need more attention than men. Like, if you tell me, oh, you know, I like your beard. What kind of, you know, oils and stuff you done put in your beard? They'll be good for a whole month. They'll be good. Now, sister, she need their attention every day, maybe 5-6 times a day. That's just how women are made up. The influence of neighbors. That really piqued my interest on that one, for the simple fact that we as people look to other people for approval. When the people that we're looking to for approval aren't people that we should be looking at anyway. Who we should be trying to emulate in our behaviors is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mothers of the Ummah. We should try to emulate them in all of their behaviors and mannerisms if we can. Looking for the approval of your neighbor. Your neighbor don't care nothing about you. Your neighbor doesn't care what goes on in your house. 9 times out of 10, they want to sit there and gossip about you and talk about what you don't have compared to what they have. And that's not no way to live life. That's not befitting conduct of Muslims. That should be none of our concern. That should be none of our concern. And worrying about what that person got and then not worrying about what's going right in your home is what causes problems. Dissatisfaction with worldly matters, like, you know, oh, you know, they did this and they did that and they went here and they went there. Like, leave that. That's not your purpose. That's none of your business. What's going on? Who's doing what or who? How somebody? That's not your business. Worry about what's going on in your home. And that's where a lot of people, you know, fall short at. And this is one of the reasons for divorce. Social class different. And, again, as Muslims, we shouldn't be bringing culture. We can bring culture, but if it's going to affect our Islam, we should leave that off. We should leave it. We should leave it because caste systems or social class systems, we should leave that off. Oh, I'm better than you because I make more money than you, or I'm more educated than you, or, oh, I know the whole Quran. I'm a hafiz, or I'm a hafiza. I know the whole Quran. But if you're not implementing what the Quran states, It's useless. It's useless. So we need to stay away from that. And if you feel as though that you don't want to marry somebody not on a particular level with you, then don't marry them. But that's not one of the four choices that you should do for brothers. If you're seeking marriage for a sister, there's four things that you should look for in a woman. But you should also look to elevate her and not cause more problems for her if you do marry her and she is below you or above you. You can avoid that from the beginning. You can avoid it from the beginning. The unequal treatment between wives is another big reason that there's divorce. That's another big reason. You giving one wife, you know, one wife, you done went out there and you done got her a Mercedes-Benz, and the other wife, she's riding around in a hoopty. Or she got a Honda, what is it, she's still riding around in a Neon. But you bought your other wife a Mercedes-Benz. That's no way to treat sisters. There's no way for you to treat your wives who you supposed to love equally. You're not supposed to give fair treatment to one and not the other. Because if you can't equally give both of them, then you shouldn't have had a second wife. You should have feared the law and stuck with the one you had, caused a hardship or caused grief to the other one because you just wanted to marry somebody else. And that's not a reason to even marry somebody else. Just because you want to marry, it should be its conditions behind it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not marry anybody just because he wanted to. The only wife that he married that was a virgin and wasn't never married was Aisha radiallahu anha. All his other wives were already married before, widows or, you know, different situations. So, you know, if you want to follow the sunnah, then you should follow the sunnah. Frequent absence from the house is another reason why, you know, divorce rates are so high. But sisters, this is something that you should have discussed with your husband. Say he's a long-distance truck driver and he's never home, or, you know, he flies a plane or drives a train or whatever have you, and his job calls him to be away a lot. That's something you should ask before you even get married. What is your job? Is it going to cause you to be, you know, away from the home for great lengths of time? If so, how much will that time be? Sisters, open your mouth. Closed mouths don't get fed. If you didn't ask this and then you see after 3 months, oh, my husband's never home. He's only home 1 weekend out the month, like he's never here. You should have asked that before you got married. Frequent nights out. Trying to see how I can address this in an unbiased way. Technically, if he's not working out at night, coming in 1, 2 o'clock in the morning for no good reason, that's going to cause some issues. That's definitely going to cause some issues, and that could be one reason that it leads to divorce. Now, sisters, again, if you're coming in 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, Allahu A'lam, I'm not speculating on anything, but if you're not working or if you don't have a need to be out in the streets at that time, Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. I'm going to just leave it at that. It's just, you know, it's a saying that my girlfriend mom used to say to us when we were teenagers. She used to say, the only thing open after 12 o'clock is legs. That's all I'm going to say. Like, you know, if you ain't out there working, and I'm talking about working, I don't see what the need is for you to be out in the street like that, especially on a constant basis. So, you know, these are some of the things to keep in mind. Traveling abroad for a bad purpose, like what is your reason for, let's say, you're going to Vegas. Going to Vegas for what? If it's not a business trip, if it's not something that's going to be beneficial to your Islam, why are you doing it? If you're going out there to gamble, that's haram. If you're going out there for, we know what Vegas is for, that's haram. Drinking, haram. Going to some of those shows that they be showing topless dance, all that, haram. You know, so you have to think about what your intentions are. And before you do these things, would these things cause your marriage any strain or stress? Because those are some of the things that can cause divorce. So I'm going to open it up again if anybody has a comment or question to ask. 805-727-7011. And I will be able to put you through, and I will honor your question. We got a full house tonight. Alhamdulillah. So some of the places where you can find in the Quran about divorce, and I'll read these off so you can, you know, take notes. Surah Al-Baqarah, which is Surah number 2, verses 227, 228, 229, 230, 231, 232, 233, 236, 237, and 241. Surah Talaq, which is 65, you can find it in verse 33. Let's see here. Surah 58, you can find it in verse 2. Oh, I'm sorry. Talaq is the whole and next surah is number 58, verses 2, 3, and 4. Then surah number 33, you can find it in verses 4, 37, and 49. If anybody wants that information, you can inbox me after the call and I can provide that to you. All right, so we're going to get into, and I'm going to try to go through this fast because we only got like a couple more minutes left. The four types of divorce. The main two, which people are really probably familiar with, is talaq and then aqula. But talaq is broken down into two parts, which is one is the revocable divorce. The other one is the irrevocable divorce, the aqula. The aqula is done by the wife, not the husband. And the last one is an annulment, which you can agree on. So with different types of divorce, I'm going to try to get this for you real quick. I got a lot of notes on this, so it's extensive what I have. I just want to go through certain issues, and it's a lot as far as with when you're putting idda, which is the waiting period up until your divorce is finalized. There's, you know, certain situations. So issue number one, it is conditional that the man who divorces his wife to be sane, and the obligatory precaution is that he be mature and that his wife be on of her own violation without compulsion. Thus, the forced divorce is invalid, that his intention also be serious. According to this, then it is not proper to utter the statements of divorce. in that issue. It is obligatory, according to obligatory precaution, that the statement of divorce be performed in correct Arabic, and it is obligatory that just two men hear it. When the husband himself desires divorce, he states the statement of divorce and mentions the wife's name. For example, he says, "My wife Fatima is divorced." And you have to do that in Arabic. You can't do it in English. So, you know, there's, you know, a lot of things that we have to follow in regards to divorce. Like, you just can't say, "Oh, I divorce you," and be done with stuff. You can't do that. It is conditional that the woman at the time of her divorce be free of menstruation and afterbirth bleeding, and her husband has not had intercourse with her in that period of purity, such as when she's not bleeding. If he had intercourse with her in the state of menstruation or afterbirth bleeding, which has preceded this period of purity, the divorce is not sufficient according to precaution. Rather, it is obligatory that he wait until she menstruates another time, then becomes pure, and then he can issue the divorce. So, you know, brothers, y'all playing around with this, sisters, listen to this, because there's steps, there's precautions that you have to take even after you have birth. Like, you just can't say, "Oh, once you had a baby, you divorce." No, because if she chooses to breastfeed, he has to sustain her and that child for 2 years. It is proper to divorce the wife in the state of menstruation and afterbirth bleeding in three situations. When her husband has not had intercourse with her after marriage without exception, when she is pregnant, and when the woman is absent and it is not possible for the man or it is difficult for him to be aware of the state of her purity of his wife. So if he's not sure if she got her menstrual cycle and he can't get in contact with her, then he can do the divorce, and it is valid. So, you know, I could go on and on and on, but there's plenty of information on it. And, you know, like Doran Ida, sisters, you know, the precaution and the theory of the seclusion, which is called the Ida, with relation to the woman who menstruates, is that she wait for the amount of time in which she menstruates two times and become pure. Then after she menstruates a third time, her seclusion ends. So you have to wait three menstrual cycles before you're done your Ida. That's if your husband pronounced talak on you. So, you know, and then there's, you know, information if her husband died. She has to wait. So if your husband dies, sister, there's a specific time that you have to wait until you can get married again. And I'll read that for you. It is obligatory upon a woman whose husband has died to observe seclusion for 4 months and 10 days, whether the marriage is, when the marriage was permanent, whether he had intercourse with you or not. Even the menopausal woman is obligated to observe that particular seclusion. So if you're 50 and over, which, you know, the scholars state is a woman who is in menopausal age, so 50 and over, even if your husband died, you do not do the 3 months. You have to do the 4 months and 10 days. So that's that. Okay, so I'm explaining to you the irrevocable and revocable divorce, which is part of Teller. Divorce is of two types, irrevocable and revocable. The irrevocable divorce is that divorce in which the man does not have the right of returning to his wife in the intent of, you know, mending the marriage. It is that the man returns to his relationship with his wife without a new contract, and they live together as if they had been husband and wife. So that's like, you know, he says, okay, I'm placing you in Ida. And he gets the witnesses and so forth. But then 2 weeks later, he wants to make amends. He doesn't have to tell anybody. You don't have to tell anybody. You basically break your Ida and you're married again. So there's tons of information that I pulled up on divorce. For the revocable, it is when a man divorces a woman with the revocable divorce, it is not permitted for him to return or remove her from the house, except in some instances. Also forbidden for the woman to leave the house unnecessary. So if you're in Ida and it's a revocable, you shouldn't be leaving the house for anything. This is sunnah. This is what you're supposed to do and adhere to. I could go on and on and on, but I'm going to stop there and just check again and see if anybody has any questions. And remember, if you're on the phone, all you have to do is press 1, and I can bring you through if you have a question or a comment. 805-727-7013. With the kula, it is where the woman asks for the divorce and the husband has to agree to it in order for it to take place. Her waiting period would then be 30 days or 1 month. But with the kula, she has to ask if her husband wants the mare or the dowry back. Since she asked for the divorce, he's entitled to accept it back, or he can say, no, I don't want it back. And then, you know, he say, I grant you the kula, and, you know, within 30 days, the period would be up. Now, I also like to, you know, pull up statistical information and, you know, like the audience that I reach out to, is African-American. And I like to pull statistics. I like to pull statistics on, you know, 1 second. Time for Isha. And this should run us right into 8 o'clock, and then, you know, I can conclude the call at 8 so that we can make prayer on time. But I like to pull information on African-Americans just to see what the statistics are. Even though I know that because these statistics won't include Islamic marriages, I just want to make sure that's clear and understood. It's not the statistics that I pulled doesn't have, it doesn't separate it by religion. So this is strictly African-Americans. The divorce rate in Pennsylvania, since I'm in the state of Pennsylvania, in 2012 was 2.8%. As I went back to 2001, it was 3.1%. So it went down some. But the reason why it went down is because more people weren't getting married. So if you're not getting married, then the divorce rate would drop. The number of marriages in 2012 was 2,118,000. The marriage rate per population of 1,000 was 6.8%. The divorce rate per 1,000, it was 44 states that participated in this statistical graph. And per 1,000, it was 3.6%. Now, with black women, they ask why aren't black women getting married? In 2010, 48.8% of black men are never married, compared to 45.2% of black women, which is up from 44% in 2008 and 42% in 2005. It is also believed that a large percentage of black men marry white women or Caucasian women. That's why it was such a, like, a almost a 4% difference between black men that were married and African American women who were married. So that was very interesting that I found, you know, that information out. And, you know, why is it, you know, this is something that I'm putting out there to the callers, especially if you're in the state of Pennsylvania and you're near the city of Philadelphia or in around the city of Philadelphia, why is it that the Muslims can't stay married? Why is it that, you know, the turnover rate of marriages is so high? What is it about the sisters and what is it about the brothers that these marriages aren't lasting? I'm baffled of why, you know, are they not taking the actual precautions to or all the necessary steps, make sure that their marriage lasts. What are some of the situations that are occurring that, and we won't know these because, again, as Muslims, we don't discuss these things, but they need to be addressed. You know, there are marriage counselors for Muslims. There is. Several masjids offer marriage counseling or marriage, you know, help. Germantown Masjid, Nabawiya, they have the Dawah Center. You can call and make an appointment and speak to one of the students of knowledge up there if the imam is not available to, you know, speak over or, you know, to hear your situation that's going on. What is it about it that, you know, people, are you even married? You know, that was something that, you know, I thought about, like, you know, a lot of people say, oh, they married this and that, and they're not married because they know how people, how Muslims frown on zina or fornication, you know. So people will say they're married and they're not because they know that, you know, it's not accepted in Islam. So, you know, I want to know what I could do or what anybody in the community could do to stop this turnover rate. You know, it's not good. It's not a good look for, you know, Philadelphia. I mean, I have friends and stuff that live abroad overseas, and, you know, they'll tell you in a minute, don't marry nobody from Philly, man or woman. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, I mean, it's not good. It's not a good look. You know, I don't believe that people get married with the intention of divorcing. I mean, and that's just me. That's just how I follow Islam. Like, who goes into a marriage saying, oh, yeah, this only going to last a month? You know, I can't see it. You know, what are some of these things? Like, are you not speaking about these things in your contract? Like, who is your wakil? Who is your wali? Are they asking the appropriate questions at the time of marriage? Are you asking the appropriate questions during the time of marriage? Because sisters, you have a voice. You can speak. You can even present that information to your wakil or wali and say, ask the brother this. You know, I just want to see the negativity on divorce stop. I want to see that revolving door shut down. You know, I love when I'm looking down my timeline and I see brothers and sisters getting married. It just elates me. And the shaitan is angry. He's angry that these sisters and brothers have gotten married. May Allah protect their marriage and their unions, that the shaitan is not bothering them or the ayn is affecting them, and that they continue their union into Jannah. Ameen. But this divorce rate just has to stop. It's not a good feeling. You know, it's not a good look. I mean, and you break down people, brothers and sisters, people's hearts are hurting. People are being misused. People are being, you know, just tossed to the side like trash. Like it has no meaning. Like, you know, this was just a fling. Like, you know, everybody prepares for the marriage, but they, you know, I mean, everybody prepares for the wedding, but nobody prepares for the marriage. Like some things should just stop when you get married, or they should have stopped way before you got married. If you knew that you wasn't ready to settle down, but you're being pressured into somebody, you tell that person to go to the side and let me work on me first. Because I don't want to drag that sister or brother into my issues or my problems. I want to fix me first. I want to focus on my Islam. I understand that being married is half my religion, but when I get married, I don't want to be divorced. And brothers and sisters, stop acting like this is just a game of just having halal sex. And then when you're done with the sister or the brother, you just toss them to the side. Now, I didn't say don't tie your camel. Because in certain situations, you know, people want to play games and they want to, you know, think it's a joke. Islam is not a fashion. It is not a fad. Is not the hip thing to do. Islam is a way of life. And if you're not willing to practice Islam the way it should be practiced, you need to reevaluate yourself. Don't blame the Muslims for your shortfalls and your downfalls. Blame yourself. Get right with Allah. Fear Allah. Because if you fear Allah, you will adhere to what the Quran and the Sunnah states about marriage and the treatment of your wife, the treatment of your husband, the treatment of your children. This community is shot. It's shot. It's dead. There is no, I mean, like I said, I've been Muslim for 23 years, and I have never seen the Ummah in such a disarray in my entire life. This is sad that the constant fitna goes on. Starting trouble, just doing this and doing whatever. We have to stop this kind of behavior because it's reflecting negative on everybody, even people who don't have nothing to do with it. People, and I'm not saying that everybody is good, and I'm not saying that everybody is bad, but we need to fix it. And the only way that we're going to be able to fix that is if we address it. I see somebody has a comment, so I'm going to put you through. Let's see. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yes, sister, I'm enjoying the program, and I just want to say that it's not just in Philly. It's really all over, and it's big time where I live up in Essex County, New Jersey, East Orange, okay. North Orange area. But okay. What I want to say is, what I want to share is this, that one of the problems, too, is people taking their concerns to these walis and imams has caused a lot of problems and divorces also. Now,
okay.
Praise be to Allah, from my experience, me and my wife have never discussed outside of me and her and taking our problems to Allah, and we've been together since children, and
okay.
We're still together. And like I said, that's just my blessing. But most of the couples that I know up in my area who have separated, which I see every day,
right.
Many of the marriages are lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, and they're taking their problems to the imams, they're taking them to the walis, They're getting certain types of advice, and
right.
many of them are breaking up behind this, and they're not taking it to Allah like they should. And also,
right.
they haven't investigated carefully. When you go forth
right.
in Allah's cause, which is marriage, you investigate carefully. And if you don't
right.
investigate carefully, you just have to suffer the consequences that come behind it. But like you said, I don't believe Allah puts you together for you to separate later on.
Exactly.
Now, when you separate later on, that's a good chance Allah didn't put you together. You put yourselves
right.
together. So I
right.
just want to share that one of the big problems, too, is just amongst us because, you know, with all this different school of thought and who's right and who's wrong, and many of the brothers today don't allow their wives to investigate and study for themselves, and that becomes a problem right there. So I just want to share that, and thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And, you know, another thing is, before you get married, listeners and callers and everybody, I appreciate you for all calling in. You have to make istikhara. Istikhara is made for when you have a major decision to make. And getting married is a major decision. You know, you should do it. And do it according to how it's supposed to be done. To get that sign of approval or, you know, the disapproval, it's something that you should do. It's required. I mean, it's what you should do. It's a sunnah, but it's there for a reason. You know, sisters, again, we think, and I'm going to conclude the call with this. You know, I just want y'all to think about this. Women think with their heart. And not with their mind. And if a brother is talking good and his game is slick, you're going to fall for it. But a man knows another man how he's supposed to be known. This is why it's important that you get someone great as your wakil or your wali. Preferably somebody in your family that is going to look out for your best interest. Because a man knows another man just like a woman knows another woman. And men know that, again, women are emotional creatures, and we think with our heart. He could say whatever, and you're like, oh, that brother, he's up. And you get caught up in something that you pray every night that the Lord remove you from it. Same thing, brothers. You look out there at the sister and see her, and see how, you know, when you see her with her niqab, because I see that on my timeline. Oh, what all black in the niqab do to me? You better find out who underneath that niqab and that overgarment. That's what you better find out. Investigate that sister. And brothers, investigate the sisters. The sister, investigate the brothers. Find out his character. Find out what masjid he attends. Find out what he does in the community. Find out. Do your research. Ask questions. Anybody that want to, you know, I know the topic on marriage is going to be on Monday, but I have 101 questionnaire that you should ask about marriage. And it's important that you do this because it's not only, you know, for you to, you know, have solace with yourself after you made istikhara to have that sound, firm decision and you feel good about your choice, but it's also to get to know your spouse. It's also to get to know your spouse and understand how they would act in certain situations. You know, how they deal with kids and things like that because, you know, children play a big part in divorce as well, especially if you got older kids. So, you know, this was a good topic. I might have to revisit this, you know, at a later time. And, you know, I pray everybody found this beneficial and, you know, informative. You know, it's just sad, and I'm sad to see things. I'm sad for my own situation. So, you know, it's not something to take lightly, and it's something that you have to reflect on to learn from what you made mistakes and how to not make those mistakes again and to move forward and to move on. But keep Allah first. Keep Allah first, because Allah could have removed that person for a darn good reason. A good reason. So, you know, don't question the cutter of Allah. Be thankful in certain situations when Allah removes something from you, even though divorce is not looked at, you know, it's frowned upon. But be thankful that Allah didn't let you continue in that situation. Every situation is not nice. And I'm sure a lot of you who follow me seen the situation that happened with the sister who was suffered domestic violence. You know, may Allah rectify, you know, that whole situation. I mean, but, you know, again, I'm going to have to probably address this topic again at a later time. I appreciate all the callers, all the people who participate on this call. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing me with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of, you know, and clarity on some of the issues and things that I addressed on the show. Imam Alfred Muhammad is suffering from cancer. If you guys could please make donations to help him and aid him in trying to rid his body of the cancer, we would greatly appreciate it. You can go to his GoFundMe page, and it's GoFundMe.com / Imam Alfred, which is all one word. And closing, I just want to say that, you know, first we have to all start with ourselves before we try to change anything else. So we have to take a look at ourselves and focus on what we need to correct with ourselves before we can go on. Again, this is Sister Aisha Qadira Muhammad. I'm sorry, I'm saying my name wrong and I'm tired. This is Qadira Aisha Muhammad for Blog Talk Radio. Religion Means Alive for the date of October the 1st, 2015. Today's topic was regarding why is divorce so high in Islam, and, you know, what can we do to correct it? If you want to reach out to me directly, you can call or text me at 610-836-2120. You can also reach me via email at qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks. Feel free to inbox me if you have questions or concerns. And again, I appreciate everyone taking the time out their busy schedule to join me for the call today. And inshallah, we'll reconvene on Monday. Assalamu alaikum. Everybody have a blessed night. Inshallah.